And, you know, there's so many people that go through life just existing, just going from one event to another or one hurt to another. And they're bogged down by life and bogged down by the hurts and the disappointments. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 that he came to fulfill in all of us that ability to live free from all of that pain, emotional, physical, that Jesus came to set us free. And when we are living in that, we are prisoners to it. Shell has just called, joining us here, and that's great. We'll get to her in just a minute. We're going to do our station ID thing right now, and we'll be right back. Don't go. All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life, the second hour. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along today with two of our radio team members, Dr. Angel, who co-hosts Go Yard with me, and Shell. I believe that is you, right, that just tuned in?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
You've had quite a day, haven't you? So.
Yes, but I'm here.
Yes, yes.
Glad to be here.
Two family members in the hospital and running things back and forth for people all over the countryside. You've been on the road, and it's been a tough time and for you, and we just lift you up in prayer. And
thank you.
You know, I know it's tough, and we gave you the out to not be on the show, but you said, no, I want to, so that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So,
have you heard the first hour? Do you have a general idea of where we're at in 2 Kings?
I heard a little bit of it. It got pretty windy.
Oh, okay.
And then I had to come in and feed the cats. But yes, I've read 2 Kings, the story with Elijah. And,
yeah. Okay. So you have a general
bringing
idea.
The boy back.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're at the point where he's just told the lady that she is going to have a son the next year. So we're going to talk about all that in just a moment. But Shell, Angel just talked about Go Yard and the show we do. Can you talk to people again about the prayer line and why that's important? Prayers at BOHM Global. You're one of those team leaders that pick up the requests and send them out. Talk to us about that and invite people to use it, will you?
Sure. The prayer team consists of, I think, a handful of us. But basically, you can contact us through the prayer site, which Pastor will have to give you that. I basically get it. It's forwarded to me. But if you're having problems in your life, you know, however big or small, the more people praying and agreeing with you, the more receptive I think the Lord is. And, you know, we want to be on your side and offer you support. So if you're having problems and you want us to pray for you, you can just email us. On the other side of that is, you know, if you have answered prayer and things are going really well, you have something you want to celebrate, maybe it is an answered prayer, please let us know, because we consider that a praise report, and we will also thank the Lord for that as well. So the actual email address, sorry about that.
It's okay. Prayers. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, prayers.
So basically we're prayer warriors, and we're praying. We're on your side.
That's exactly right.
The Lord answers prayer, so that's what we're here for.
That's exactly right. We want to be praying for you. It's not an imposition. It is a joy for us to get those prayer requests. And, you know, I'm keeping a record. Pastor Jim keeps a record of those that come in on the requests that come in through the prayer line. I'm keeping a record of my own answers to prayer. And I tell you what, it is amazing when we go back and see that God hears, he answers, he knows our desires, he knows what we need. And he's there. He wants to answer your prayer and take care of your need. And it's not that he's so, I've heard people say through the years of ministry, well, God's got so many people to see about, he doesn't care about me. Would you respond to that little statement, Shell? Because if I've heard it at one time, I've heard it 200 times in my years of ministry.
If you've accepted Christ, that's all that needs
yes.
to happen.
Yes.
It's a gift. Everybody's worthy. Once you've accepted him, it's as if he's, you know, he's there. God is your father, your heavenly father, and Jesus is your brother. And I look at the Holy Spirit, you know, the three are interconnected. But all you need to do is accept that, and then you're good to go.
Hell yeah.
You're worthy.
Amen. Good point. Good boy. That's the way to put it. And then, I mean, pray and ask God for these needs. And the word talks about getting others to pray with you. Very important, isn't it, Shell? That we
have
a group.
I mean, I used to go ahead, Angel.
Go ahead. That was me stumbling on you.
Background.
No, that was me.
He wants us to pray together and for each other. That's basically what Jesus wants us to do. That's our purpose, is to help each other out. When we've accepted Christ and we've become familiar with Him, and as we grow in Him, we're supposed to spread the word so that we can save other people. That's why you went to Mexico.
Right.
That's why we're on the air today.
That's right.
Talking about it. And, you know, you shouldn't be feeling unworthy or that you're someone like little old me, God's not going to listen to me. I used to feel that way. And you guys basically brainwashed me into the right way of thinking, which is, you are worthy. Everybody
Amen.
Is.
We brainwashed you, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
In a good way.
Okay.
But, you know, I just used to feel unworthy like that and worried about a lot of things and didn't think my prayers would be answered. But now I know the opposite is true, and that there's strength in numbers.
Yes,
and
yes.
Jesus is where, you know, two or three gather.
Yes.
He hears us individually, but certainly the more people you have praying, the better.
Exactly.
And, so, you know, you have to believe in it, though. You have to be confident.
And, Amen.
And almost thank Him for what's to happen before you even see it happen.
Amen.
He doesn't
Amen.
Want you to be, you know, meek.
That's right. That's right. He wants us not to be afraid, and that brings us to this next song, Whom Shall I Fear? One of my favorite songs, I think. See if it helps you.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear?
Shall I?
love that song, The God of Angel Armies. Always by my side. Whoa, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Today with Angel and Shell. Angel and Shell, let's talk about this woman, 2 Kings chapter 4. We're down to the point that she does have the baby, the promise through Elisha, the prophet that came from God that was dropped in Elisha's spirit for her. Happened. She had a son. We think he was maybe an older child, young, maybe 12, 13, maybe 9, 10. We don't know. He wasn't so big that she couldn't carry him. That we know. So he couldn't have been a full-grown man. But his dad was out in the field, and he went out there, and we think that what happened is that he had sunstroke. And so he was in the field. In verse 18, the child grew up. One day he went to his father, working with his harvest hands. He said, "My head, my head." And the father ordered a servant to carry him to his mother. And the servant took him in his arms, carried him to his mother. He laid on her lap, so he couldn't have been too very old, until noon, and then he died. Now, for most of us, when something horrible has happened, especially after we were given a promise by God, a miracle happens, we have this miracle, and then we lose that miracle. For a lot of people, they go deeply into depression and blaming God and angry. This woman didn't do that. She took him and laid him on the bed of the man of God upstairs, the room where he was staying, shut him in alone, and left. And then she got the servant to get a hold of her husband and say, "I've got to go to the man of God," who was actually on Mount Carmel, probably worshiping God. And the husband said, "Well, why are you going? It's not a Sabbath. It's not a holy day or anything like that." And she said, "Don't ask questions. I need to go right now. Trust me." Interesting. Talk to me about that, Shell. And then we'll go to Angel here. I mean, interesting that she didn't apologize for needing to get to the man of God, because she knew she just needed to get to him for her miracle. Nor did she even tell her husband that the child had died. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, for her, it was just about immediately going to this, you know, getting help. And not wasting time over technicalities like what day of the week it was, whether it was,
right.
You know, like the legalistic rituals they
right.
used to follow.
Yes.
She just believed, didn't care, kind of like Jesus.
Yeah, you
know,
right.
And said, "Hey, you know, there's no time to waste. Please come."
Yeah. Yes, and so she goes to him, and Angel, talk to us about that, because I agree with Shell. She did not waste time. She did not explain. She did not start crying and boo-hooing about the fact her son had died. She knew in her heart that God had the answer. That's what I want to say, or at least that's how I feel. What do you think, Angel?
Oh, I agree. I think it was one of those, she did not pass go, did not collect $200. She knew where... the
right.
answer was going to be, and she went to go get that answer.
Exactly. She did. And she did it, you know, quickly. You know, she didn't waste time. And so she goes, and from a, you know, he was up on a mount, or who knows how high it was, probably not too high. And he looks out, and he sees her coming, and he says to his servant, "Run, go quickly and ask her, is that something wrong? Are you all right? Your husband, your child." And she says, "Everything's fine," in the Message Bible. A lot of people feel that this is the passage of scripture where that old song, "It Is Well With My Soul," came from. Because she does not say, "Oh, you would not believe this awful thing that's happened." She says, "It's well. Everything's okay." Talk to me about that, Shell. I mean, how often do we do that as humans? We tend to just pour it out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, most people in her situation would be freaking out, you know, like they wouldn't be all calm and collected, and that just shows, that's just testament of her faith, how strong
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
You know?
She was trusting God, wasn't she?
Completely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just totally trusting God. Angel?
That's total faith right there. I just think it was, it just bypassed that like logical part of the brain. I think it was, she just went for, I got to get to the answer. I know who has the answer and let's go. Fastest way we can get there.
Well, I mean, excellent point. Talk to Michelle about why human nature doesn't do that as often as we should.
Well, you know, it was her son.
You're right.
I mean, I'm not a mom, but I'm a furry baby mom, I guess.
You know,
so when there's something wrong with like my cats, so all the more I'd probably go berserk if it was a human child.
Well, you have nephews and nieces.
Yeah, I have nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And, I love them very much too. But you know, they're so fragile, and if something goes wrong, you tend to, your mind goes blank.
Right.
Your heart races and your mind races and you don't really know what to do. It's hard to think straight. And that's why we count on others usually around us. And in this case, you should count on God and trust in him.
Right.
To take away that anxiety that you would naturally feel as a response to that type of situation.
Exactly. And it's interesting to me that she really, like you said, Angel, or she doesn't, you know, she doesn't stop and hang out and, you know, she just, she runs. I mean, she knows there's an answer and she goes to it, you know, and Shell talked to me about that. So often we don't do that. We waste precious time stewing and frustrated and angry and upset with God and sleepless nights. Talk to me.
We just end up too much in our head. And, you know, we dwell on things and we worry, and we're told time and time again that, you know, fretting about stuff and worrying and being anxious doesn't buy us any time.
Right.
It doesn't add anything. It only takes you away, further away from God.
Exactly.
And so, you know, hearing that advice, we know, it's like we know better.
Yeah, we do.
But being natural and, you know, we're fallible and weak.
We
tend to fret. So our job is to try to, as a skill, hone that skill of becoming more confident and patient and trusting in God completely, instead of trying to reason and sort it out ourselves.
Oh, amen, amen. Angel, talk to us about that. She's right on there.
True, and we do. We get stuck up in our head a lot. And
Good point.
We start looking at it. And because we're looking at it from, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to get through this? What am I going to do? I, instead of partnering, okay, I need to get to the man who's going to have the answers. I need to get, you know, we don't think about that. We're, you know, brooding in it, or we're on the phone with, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going through this. And, you know, having to talk about it over and over and over and over.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what we do. And it, but you don't see her doing this, which is so interesting. I mean, this is probably one of the most serious things that could happen to a mother and a child. The child die in your arms. I mean, how awful is that? And yet she, we don't see her reacting in that human normal way that a lot of people do, that a lot of us, all of us have done probably. But instead, she goes to where the answer is. And praise God, we have the word of God right here, and it builds our faith. This story builds my faith. I don't know about the two of you, but I just think it's amazing what God has done here in this story to point us to him. And talk to me about that, Shell, before we do this next song. Oh, love it.
I just, you know, we're always a work in progress, and I'm trying, because I've always been one of those anxious, over-analytical people, and I'm just trying to learn, you know, when things get overwhelming and you don't know how to handle a situation, to just completely put it in God's hand, and usually it works out okay.
Yes. You're right, and I'm doing the same thing. And Angel, would you agree with Shell that you're doing the same thing, doing everything you can to put these things in God's hands? Do you want to comment on that before we play Courageous?
Well, you know what? No matter where we are, you know, doors always close. I mean, I'm walking through a door that just closed on me Friday, and my first reaction was, oh, my gosh. And now it's, take a deep breath. I know who's got the answer, and it's going to be okay.
Right.
And so we live it all the time. And our first human response, it's okay not to have the divine response first. We just got to get there.
Right. Exactly. I think this song will help all of us. Courageous by Casting Crowns.
We were made to be courageous.
This is what we were made to be.
We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more.
The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Lord, make us courageous. That's the cry of our heart. That's what it needs to be. I believe this woman was extremely courageous here in 2 Kings 4. Doesn't that song just bless you, Shell?
Oh, yes. I've started listening to more spiritual music and less of the secular music.
Yeah.
It's just when I don't have time to read the Bible. And
right. It helps.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. It really does. It just really encourages you. This woman was courageous because, boy, she didn't talk about the problem. She just ran for the answer. And she runs to the holy man who is Elisha, who had promised her that God was going to give her a son. And she had a son. And yet he died of sunstroke. you know, typical human condition. And but she did guard her words there when she said everything is fine down in verse 26, or all is well. Angel, talk to me about that, and we'll go to Shell after that, about the importance of our words and how that affects so much of our day.
Oh my goodness, it sets the tone for our day.
Doesn't
it? It really, really does. And, you know, what we think, we say, and what we say, we feel. And so it's this continuum. So when we're, you know, starting to say the negative, we're feeling the negative, we're responding and acting in the negative, and it's spiraling our day. And so really being careful about those words. And I like to write them on those little sticky post-it notes and post them on my mirror and post them on all the places I go look in the morning. So I have those words out positive first thing in the morning. You know, I am blessed. I am chosen. I am the Christ King, because I need to start my day that way.
Right. Absolutely. So you put affirmations on different places around your house. You said I am
most
chosen.
Most of them are, yes. Those are mostly just Bible verses rewritten with the I am with it.
Right. I am the child of the King. I am God's beloved. I am, yeah.
I am seated on high places, yes.
Yes. In fact, in that Prayers of Avail Much book, prayer book that we use at church, there's a whole list of personal confessions. You can get them and do the post-it note thing like Dr. Angel if you want. Angel, Shell, talk to us about the importance of what we say, what comes out of our mouth. Dr. Angel just said that, how important it is.
Yes. Well, we're taught in the scripture that words can kill, and
yes,
words can save people.
Right.
You're right. I mean, whatever you're thinking comes out of your mouth eventually,
you know,
whatever's in your heart. And, you know, I like the post-it note idea, except, you know, I already have had a post-it note intervention, but I love that idea.
You mean because you do it so much?
I do it so much. I have, when I study.
Yeah.
So that would probably get me in a little trouble with the clutter, but I try to pray to God, you know, just to think positive thoughts, and that's why I stopped listening to a lot of the, you know, poor me, songs, the secular songs out there.
Yes.
And just started listening more to the uplifting music when I can't read or I'm in the car, because when I'm in the car, that's when you run into people who tend not to obey the traffic rules.
Does that bother you? Are you saying that bothers you?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I have to fight.
Okay.
You know, getting a little angry on the road.
Right, sure.
And people gesture in ways, you know, that aren't very nice.
Right,
and
exactly.
When somebody engages you like that, you know, you have the option of taking the higher road or, you know, giving it back to them. And the old me, I mean, I should say, I'm always in the process of trying to get better.
Sure, but, we all are. Yeah, yeah.
I used to be really negative, really cynical, and really sarcastic as a person, you know, seeing mostly the negative in situations, and it's been pointed out to me time and time again. Tried hanging out with people who are more positive. My partner is more positive than I am, so that helps me. But like Angel said, the positive affirmations. I don't use sticky notes, but I try to look at the bright side of things now.
That's right. Yeah.
And when I'm, you know, say I'm in a line at the grocery store and it's 20 feet deep and it's a cash only line, but people are paying with checks and everything else, I try to look at the magazines around me,
right,
or just talk to the people around me and just try to be positive instead of the old Shell, which would be like griping that I picked the wrong line again.
Right. Exactly. I hear you. But you know what you're doing is you're making an effort to change this habit, right?
Always trying. I don't always, you know, succeed, but it's like I said, I'm a work in progress. I'm always willing
to
try.
Well, and I think this woman, by what she did it quickly too.
Very.
I find that interesting. She didn't sit around Well, number one, she probably didn't want rigor mortis to set in her son, who is dead on the prophet's bed. But she also knew that she needed to get an answer quickly. And so often, we don't rush to God like we should. We instead rush into our head, like you both have been saying, and or on the phone, or griping to someone. And we need to be rushing to God and get the answer and go with that. Angel, talk to us about that. Because that's what this woman did. She went for the answer quickly.
She did. And it was, she just went. Like, it was, you know, the situation was big, you know, and you have to think this child became because of God.
Right.
And here, you know, I'm sure in that moment it was like, okay, there's only one person, there's only one place I have to go to get this answer. And there was, you know, she just went, and she didn't think about it. She didn't stop. She didn't hesitate. Like, she went.
Right.
You know, and that's amazing. That's an amazing amount of faith right there, because in the human, I mean, I could just imagine myself in that situation, and if this was my child, my first thought is, you know, is there anything I can do in this moment to, you know, help this, you know, child or any, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
Went for the divine, like, not even, like, the natural, the divine. Not that there probably was a natural if he was dead, but still, you know, you still think you can.
Yes. Well, I find it interesting that we just played that song, Courageous. I had it planned, but it fit in so perfectly for this, because this woman was courageous. She did things that she probably never did. Go saddle up a donkey and ride as fast as she could to the holy man, which was Elisha. I mean, that was not something people did. Women. It, you know, more than likely, it was not a norm in the culture. And then she goes, and then, you know, Gehazi comes, and he says to her, what's wrong? And she goes, everything's fine. Again, she guarded her mouth, like we've been talking about. And in verse 29, Elisha says to Gehazi, don't lose a minute. Grab my staff, which was his walking stick type thing, and run as fast as you can. If you meet anyone, don't even take time to greet them or talk to them or anything. Put the staff across the boy's face. So Elisha was doing as quick as he could. He got Gehazi on the road running, and they probably weren't, it probably was not a huge distance here between where Elisha was and where the little boy was. And in verse 30, the boy's mother said, as sure as God lives and you live, you're not leaving me behind. I love this. And so Gehazi let her take the lead and follow behind her. Shell, talk to me about that, the aggressiveness, while I take a drink of water here, the aggressiveness of this woman. I mean, the courage, the, like, hey, we're going to get this done type attitude in her.
I think she was just showing, you know, she started this, this whole solution. She put it into action. She wasn't wasting time,
right.
And she wanted to be a part of it, all of it, from beginning to end. She wanted to be there to witness it, probably,
right.
And to see her son, to see the solution come to fruition.
Woo! Like, so she was fully engaged. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she wanted to be engaged in every part of it.
Yeah, she didn't say, well, you know, you guys let me know what happens. I'm going to take a little nap here. And I think that's an excellent point, Shell. Angel, talk to us about that. You see full engagement here with her and courage.
Yep. You know what? It's kind of, she went all in for this. Like, it's amazing. I wish we got more of her backstory. That really,
I know.
You have the therapist in me that just likes to do some backstory, because, you know, it was a woman who obviously she had, her physical needs were met, and then she had, you know, the son, that desire, that heart desire.
Yes.
And God gave it to her. And then this tragedy happens, and then she just goes. She goes for the divine. She goes for the answer. She doesn't stop. She doesn't hesitate. She goes as fast as she humanly possibly could go with the means of transportation available to her, and trust. Not only does she go to it, then she trusts the council, like, you know, oh, let's stick this staff, you know, next to his head. And I might be like, what? You know, but there was no what. There was like, let's get it going. If, you know, whatever you say, I'm willing, to, you know, I'm willing vessel, very open, willing, and humble.
Oh, she was. And so, you know, Gehazi goes on and she follows. Actually, she took the lead. which is interesting in this verse, verse 30. She takes the lead on the donkey, and he follows behind, and then he got there first. But it was like she was leading him to the problem because she knew their answer was coming, you know? And so Gehazi arrives, lays the staff across the boy's face, but there was no sound, no sign of life. I find that interesting because so often we don't, what's the word I want to say, work at it, getting the answer. Because a lot of times we just pray once or we just say, God, please help me in this, or God, you know, and then we don't labor in our prayer. We don't hang on to God for the answer. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't have the confidence to know that God's going to move in our situation, and we don't hang on. Talk to me about that, Shell, because even though it didn't work, this first thing, he did not respond with the staff laid on him. You know she didn't leave or go anywhere because Elisha arrives, and Elisha immediately doesn't say, well, you tried that and it didn't work, so we're just all going to give up and bury the kid. Talk to me, Shell.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if that was like a test, because, you know, when we pray, we want to immediately see a solution, and usually we're anticipating what that solution is going to be or how it's presented to us, you know, because God answers prayers, but it's not always how we expect or when
right.
we expect.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be persistent, and, you know, I'm guilty of this. I pray for something, and I think, okay, I checked the box off for that person, and now they ought to be okay. And
yeah.
we're supposed to keep praying.
Yes, yes.
And keep on keeping on until we see that prayer answered. So pray without ceasing, I guess.
Exactly. Pray without ceasing. Matthew 7 says to ask, seek, and knock. And you're an English professor, Shell. And the word there for ask in the original Greek was ask and keep on asking. And the word for seek, the verb that was used there, was seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. It was not just ask once. And I think a lot of people fall in a trap. Well, I asked God, he chose not to do it. That's the end of that. I'm going to have to suffer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Shell?
Definitely. I mean, you don't know how often, like sometimes you feel like you're being a nag, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll just speak for myself. I won't talk in a second.
Okay.
Person, I'll just say, you know, I ask for something and I ask for it continuously, and sometimes I'll back down because I haven't seen an answer, or at least not right in front of my my nose.
Right.
And so I'll think, well, maybe I'll come back to that later because he's just not ready to answer that, or maybe
mm-hmm.
it's not going to happen
mm-hmm.
at all. I give up.
Right. Right.
So I move on to something else.
Right.
Some other area that I need to work on. But, you know, you make these, like, checklists off. You try to fit everyone into your prayers, you know, your loved ones. People in our church. You know, others around the world, our world leaders.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you go broad and then more to the specific with your family and your close loved ones.
Right.
But, you know, when you don't see the answer right away, I don't see the answer right away. I tend to stop, and I need to persevere more. That's
absolutely we all do. And Elisha didn't just shut this down and say, okay, well, that didn't work, okay, I guess he's just going to stay dead. Angel, do you want to comment on that before we see what Elisha did?
No, I think we should keep on going. We're running out of time.
All right. So Elisha enters the house. He finds the boy. You're right. And he's dead. And he goes into the room. He locks the door. Now, do you want to comment on that, Angel?
Very interesting behavior. You know, go put this, you know, on him, and, you know, that didn't work. And now, you know, Elisha's there, and I just can only imagine what's running through her head at this moment. Like, I can't even imagine what she's thinking, what she's feeling, like the intensity of everything, and yet she continues to trust.
Well, I think it's interesting that Elisha shuts the door, locks it, and keeps out the distractions.
Yeah, that too.
You know, because so often we get distracted by TV or whatever, and we lose our place in our prayer time or whatever. And it's so easy to do that. And he locks the door. He doesn't just shut it. He locks it. Because he's got a work to do. He's got to find out what God wants to do here, and he's got to do what God tells him to do. And this takes effort. This is not something that just happens overnight. We got to get the mind of God, and he knew that. And so he does something very interesting. He prays, and then he goes into the bed with the boy, covers him with his body. Very weird. Never seen this any other place in Scripture, but God told him to do it. Put his mouth on the kid's mouth, eyes on the eyes, hands on the hands. As he was stretched out over him like that, the boy's body became warm. He started warming up. Elisha got up, paced back and forth. He went, I know he was saying like, okay, God, now what are we going to do? He's warm, but he doesn't seem to be alive, you know? And he goes back and stretches himself upon the boy again. The boy started sneezing. 7 times he sneezed, and then he opened his eyes. This story reminded me of how Jesus would do bizarre things when he walked this earth. Like times that somebody came to him and he was blind. What Jesus did was reach down in the dirt, and he spit in the dirt, made some kind of a little paste, and put it on the guy's eyes, and he could see. I mean, how bizarre is that? We put God in a box with how God is going to fix something. That's my point. Shell, talk about that.
Well, I was just thinking when the door was locked, and,
right.
You know, it's like, let me do my thing, because, like, you know, in our lifetime, when something happens to one of our loved ones, they're rushed to the ER, and then
right.
You want to naturally be in there with your loved one while they're the doctors
that's true.
In
that's
the trauma unit are,
yeah.
are there on standby, but they don't want you in there. They
no.
lock you out so you can let them do what they need to do to...
Good point. You just went through that last
complete.
Night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Come to think of it, yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting and believing everything would be okay, and it was. You know, but I think that was the significance maybe of that.
Yeah. Yeah, just get those distractions out of the way. Also, when you're working and you're intense and you know what you're doing in the ER or whether it's in a prayer situation, you don't want to be tripping over somebody else or distracted with somebody else, whatever they're saying. Angel, talk to me about that, because I think she's got a good point here. What happens? We get so distracted sometimes.
We do. We get distracted. And not only distracted, but we're also human, too. And then those distractions, maybe we start to second-guess our own faith or our own, you know, start second-guessing what are we doing? Or is God really going to come through? And
right.
when you close that out, you don't see that. And I think that's really important, too.
Oh, I do, too.
Can second-guess that. Is God really going to, you know, come through? Is God really hearing me? Does he really care about this matter?
Yeah, absolutely. And we see that this boy came back to life. It was one of the 32 miracles that Elisha performed under the direction of God, this story. And to me, it is a faith builder. Does it do that for you, Shell? I mean, it builds my faith.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I like the part. I thought it was kind of weird, too, how... You know, he got on top of the boy.
Yeah, and, I did too.
You know, especially because he's dead, the body's starting to get cold.
Right, sure.
But he jumps on top, and every body part, but that's when we pray, especially like PJ is praying for somebody and it's for healing, it's, you know, always prefaced with from the top of his head to the soles of
his
feet.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Like, every part.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, good point.
The sneezing the 7 times, I know you like numbers.
Yeah.
I guess that means it's complete.
It's complete. That's right. 7 is completion. That's exactly right. And so he completed, and death was scattered. You know, death was gone and life returned, you know, and sneezing is kind of an odd thing anyway, I think, that we all experience. But sometimes you just feel like, oh, my gosh, especially if you're sneezing, how awful that feels. But in this case, it was a sign of life. He was coming back to life 7 times, and there he was. Oh, man. And can you imagine the mom, how she felt when he opens the door and says to her, come on in. Now you can embrace your son. Whoa. Wow. Talk to me, Shell, about that. Then we'll go to Angel before I do this song.
Well, you know, I think little things can build faith, but that's definitely a big one. I mean, that's an absolute miracle, and
yeah.
I think that she would just be so overwhelmed with joy.
Oh.
She didn't doubt it in the first place, but all the more it strengthened her faith right then and there at that moment.
Right, right. Boy, those few hours for her during that day, I assume this all happened in a period of just a few hours. I'm sure it did.
But those few hours probably felt like eternity for
Oh,
her.
Probably did. Because when we're going through those struggles, they do feel that way. Angel, do you want to comment on any of that before we go to the song?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure it just felt like eternity. And boy, does she have a miracle to talk about now, you know. The miracle of the baby being born first, now the baby being, you know, the boy being raised and come back alive. Like, she has a testimony and a half.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Amazing. You know the song I'm going to play right now? It's that wonderful song, You Lift Me Up. And I think it's for every one of us when we're going through struggles. Listen.
See.
Yes, that's what our God does. He raises us up to more than we can be in our own strength. When we allow Him to carry us. All right, I want you both to take a couple minutes and just talk about what you feel God is saying to you through all this scripture and how that relates to you and your life. I just want to give you both an opportunity here because you're both just such amazing, wonderful women of God and strong and courageous in your own right. And yes, you go through difficult times, but you're both strong soldiers in the army of the Lord. And I love and respect you both. So, Shell, go first. Would you talk to us?
I just wanted to say likewise. I respect you, and you're who's brought me closer as a conduit. You inspiring me to stick with it, you know. So, I just have been receiving text updates, you know, while being on the radio.
Right.
And, you know, he's Diana's father we were talking about. I don't want to take all the time.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just briefly, his sugars, they're having a hard time stabilizing him.
Okay.
And, you know, now he's hyperglycemic, and they can't get the glucose to leave his system fast enough. So he's still in ICU.
Wow.
Which kind of reminds me of the story. You know,
yeah.
We're not out of the woods. We thought we were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're waiting, you know, for the second part of the solution.
Sure. Okay.
Hoping for the best and praying. But I just have relied more and more on the Bible.
Yes.
And you've told me that. You've given me that advice to do, and I'm trying to listen and study it just like I'm studying simultaneously subjects for nursing. I'm finding it just to be as important.
Yes,
part
it
of
is.
My life, my
it
routine.
Is. Yes.
In the morning I do it, and
right.
at night. So
yes.
Thank you.
Well, praise God. You know, we will be continuing to pray. I think Pastor Jim just sent out the request on the prayer line for Diana's dad. And, you know, and we are going to believe God for a miracle here that it will stabilize. He will stabilize and this will be okay. And her mother just had the knee surgery. So we're praying for both of them, you know, because this
Thank
is tough.
You.
Two different hospitals, right? And that's not fun.
Yes, two different hospitals. So their time is split, the siblings, but fortunately they're working well as a team. And
oh, that's
two
good.
Of the three are medical providers. So.
Oh, that's great. So, yes. So that's good. Yes. So, and, you know, it is God teaching us and training us through His Word how to rely on Him and trust Him in the midst of life struggles and these hard times that we all go through. And sometimes it's our parents, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's ourselves, you know, our kids, whatever. And we have to learn to trust God that He has an answer, and we have to seek Him. And I love that song we just did because He lifts us up out of despair, out of disappointment, out of fear, and out into a place of courage in Him. And that's where He wants us to be, in a place of courage, trusting Him. I don't mean to be preaching here. Go ahead, Dr. Angel. Sarah, what do you have to say?
Oh, never mind preaching. I always love listening to your preaching. It's true. And you know what? We're all living life, every moment of every day. No one gets to be exempt from difficulties and stress and trials and worries and those things, but to know who sits on the throne, who's
yes,
got it,
yes.
It's like the biggest encouragement, and to have my group of friends and my supporters and people I can call and say, okay, I just need you to pray with me.
Right.
I just need you to believe with me right now. I can't see it, but I need you to, you know, come and step with me on this and to have that.
Absolutely. It's priceless. Yes, it is, that we have each other. And dear ones out there, we want to be that for you. That's why we stress the prayer line so much. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. We want to be that lifeline that we can take your request to the throne of God, and that we can believe with you for your miracles and for your answers to prayer. So use that prayer line, prayers at BOHMglobal.com. And I think the theme here is that, you know, when we are gracious and giving like this woman was to Elisha, he just naturally wanted God to bless her, you know? It's that old thing, goes around, comes around, but it's so true that when we give, and we give out of a kindness, out of a generous heart, out of a heart that loves God, whether it's in the middle of the night we're awakened to pray for someone, or whether it's an encouraging word or a phone call or whatever it is, when we give that kindness, and when we give prayer, and when we give to other people, God bless us in such an amazing way. I want to give you both a chance for a final thought. Angel, I'll start with you first, and then we'll go to Shell for a final thought here before we get out of here today.
You know, I just challenge our listeners to believe him, to trust
yes,
him, and
yes,
to go to him first, and to go to him often, and to keep that going, not to give up, go the distance all the way.
Yes, go the distance.
Keep going with him.
That's our theme, going the distance. Praise God. Just keep on asking, keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Woo, yes, Shell. Thank you, Angel, for being on. Appreciate it so much. God bless you. Go ahead, Shell.
I think we just have to remember to keep making God the focus,
yes,
the end goal, and take comfort in no matter what our situation or circumstances.
Yes.
Like Angel said, we're all dealing with problems every day, dilemmas.
Right.
And to different degrees of severity, but it doesn't matter because life is hard. But
yes,
if you make God your focus and your end goal in sight, and you seek him out, he will give you the answers through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you got to keep working at it, just like working out your body, just like your daily diet. You got to take him in.
Yes, yes, you do. Yes,
and you'll be okay.
And you'll be okay. Yes, and somehow it'll work out the best for his plan. So let's do that. Let's learn from this woman's example that she didn't speak the negative thing. She instead kept her hope alive, and she ran for the answer, and she was determined that all was well. All is well. And, you know, when we're serving God and we're trusting him, all is well. And we just have to trust him in the midst of the situation. Thank you, Angel and Shell, both of you, for being a part of this radio team and being on today. And we will continue to pray for Diana's parents and Angel, what you're going through in your life situation, and all of us, the things that we're going through. And you, dear listeners, we want to pray for you. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. So it's not far to Jesus. Don't forget that. Always remember that he is right there, near, ready to help. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your strong tower and your refuge. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the time of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. And he loves you. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia, Shell, and Angel bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week. And tune in next week right at 3 o'clock for Living the Good Life. And Thursday night at 6:06 for our life coaching show, Go Yard. God bless you. Have a great week. See you soon.
To his side, there's no